You're listening to State of Opportunity on Michigan Radio. I'm Dustin Dwyer. This hour, Be a Man, a story in six chapters. Chapter 6. We can easily take advantage of this kid. First, a warning. This chapter contains some offensive language, which will come up in about 2 minutes. Now, we know that boys are falling behind girls in school. We know that boys are more likely to get involved in violence or crime. You will hear people say that men are just like that. Testosterone levels, larger muscles, you know, all that stuff. Men have been more violent for thousands and thousands of years. It worked out great for men in the caveman days. But in 2013 in America, things are not looking good for the manly man.
In many ways, the world is changing around us, and the notion that men need to be men, you know, whatever that means, whether it means being, you know, using your physical strength in a job, well, those kinds of jobs are falling by the wayside.
That's Claudia Bookman again, the sociologist at Ohio State. And after spending about a decade looking at how and why boys are falling behind in education, Bookman says she believes it has a lot to do with the expectations they get put on males, especially on certain young males.
Boys who grow up in working class households where the father was or is a blue collar worker are often given the perception that because the father didn't do well in school and that wasn't an academic achievement, wasn't a pathway to his middle class lifestyle, those sons may be getting the message that, you know, it's doing well in school doesn't really matter.
What we're really talking about here are expectations. If you go back to what we heard a few minutes ago with Jermaud Cartman, a big part of how he was able to avoid bad influences is that he just grew up with the expectation that he would succeed in school. And the thing is, many boys grow up with a certain default expectation that's not very helpful in school. The expectation to be a man.
Some kid came up to me and he grabbed me by the shirt. He had picked on me before, but I usually ignored him.
Dan Hornbeck is 20 years old. The story he's telling happened when he was in fifth grade.
I pushed him away and then he punched me in the face. And I ended up crying all the way to the bus and all the way home.
Crying was a bad idea.
And that's when it just kind of escalated because I knew, okay, well, this kid cries. We can easily take advantage of this kid. And, you know, it just went from there.
Basically, for the next 2 years, Hornbeck's life was hell.
They would call me a faggot. They would call me a bitch or a pussy or call me gay or something like that. It was just a lot of harsh words. I got a lot of physical abuse as well.
In the hallway, kids would knock books out of his hand. They'd slap him. One time, a group of boys slammed him on the ground and started beating his legs with sticks. His parents tried to get the school to intervene. They tried to get the parents of the bullies to intervene. None of it helped. It just made it worse. All this time, Hornbeck says he wasn't trying very hard with his schoolwork. I asked him why not.
Probably because when I got bullied, I was afraid that if I got super good grades, I'd get bullied from another perspective, like, oh, you're a geek, oh, you're a nerd, you study too much, you know, that kind of thing.
It wasn't worth the risk. Hornbeck was already near a breaking point with the constant bullying that now had been going on for 2 years. So finally, he tried something he hadn't tried before.
This kid comes up to me and he's like, you're such a fag, you're so gay. And, you know, I turned around and I was like, you know, one of these days someone's going to deck you in the face. And then he goes, what, you? And I turned around and I decked him.
It was a turning point. A kid who'd never been violent finally resorted to violence to protect himself. There are probably a few ways to describe what happened in that moment. One way some people would describe it, Hornbeck finally learned to be a man.
I ended up getting suspended that day, but when I came home, I kind of sat and I realized, I was like, wow, I was like, I didn't expect myself to do that. I would never expect to turn around and just deck somebody. It took me by surprise, and I thought, I was like, well, maybe now they kind of learned.
And they did. It worked. The bullying didn't stop right away, but that was the turning point. And it changed Hornbeck's life. He joined the wrestling team. He started martial arts. He's a martial arts instructor to this day. He spends a lot of his time at the gym.
I've told my girlfriend this, too. I told her, he's like, you know, I was like, I can't quit because sometimes I feel like they're going to come back and I'm going to get bullied because now they know I don't do this stuff and now I'm weak again. And it's a crazy thought because I know it won't ever happen. But then again, the feeling I get is like, I can't stop this stuff. I'm going to become weak again. And I just don't want that.
Hornbeck looks back and he's actually grateful for the bullies, for the motivation that they gave him. He channeled it in a positive way. But he never really got his grades together. He didn't go to a four-year college. He's going to school now to get back on track. In the fall, actually, he expects to become a father.
Boy or girl?
Boy.
Boy?
Yep. Yep.
So what do you think about the expectations for him?
Well, like I've told other people, I've told him, you know, the thing I wish the most is that I hope he never goes through what I went through. And I hope he finds something that he loves, and whatever it is, I'm going to support him either way.
So if he's soft, you'll be okay with that?
I will be okay with that, yep. Because I know I can hopefully mold him into something, you know, that would make him tougher. So, but yeah, I would be all right with that.